New Year.
Happy 2020, friends. Holy cats. It's one whole year of trashy divorces.
52 weeks of this weirdo thing we do.
Welcome to Trashy Divorces, y'all.
My name is Stacy.
I'm Alicia.
And we have been very happy all year long to bring you some of the craziest, zaniest, funniest, heartbreakingest, band breakuppingest trashy divorces of all time.
In honor of our first year anniversary, we're flipping the script today.
Yeah, we are.
One of our awesome listeners a few months ago made a post a while ago on our Facebook discussion group that asked everyone to list all the trashy divorces they would never want to see.
And there are many.
Y'all had some ideas.
As do we.
So others of you were like, why are you putting this into the universe? Right. So for this New Year's Day special, we are going to flip the script a little. No bad vibes coming from trashy divorces. Instead, Stacy and I are going to give a little trashy love to some of the couples that are examples for the rest of us.
Yes.
It's Happy Couples episode, y'all.
It's Happy Marriages, brought to you by Trashy Divorces.
Not all marriages, though.
True.
So let's Happy Couples.
Okay.
Let's be fair about it.
Okay.
We don't really get a high body count of happy couples on our podcast.
Yeah.
So who could use a little love to start out 2020?
Yes. All right. Talk about the song, because I know you're really into this.
I'm so excited about season 5. In honor of season 5 kicking off this Sunday, January 5th, our 12 Degrees of Frank Sinatra, It Had to Be You seemed a very fitting way to kick off 2020 and season 5. Frank Sinatra's version and Harry Connick's will be posted both on our site. Both badass. So happy couples. We each have a few of our favorites that we're going to talk about today. And some of our choices of happy couples definitely coincided with our listeners' list.
Yes.
We will be covering the top mentions. But before that, let's present the honorable mentions of the Trashy Divorces Happy Couples Award. Happy couples mentioned here, you are the wind beneath our wings. In no particular order, Stacy, start us out.
Sure. We have Kira Sedgwick and Kevin Bacon.
I mean, they're cousins, but they're adorable.
Sure.
And we love them.
Sure. We have Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard.
Dolly Parton and Carl Dean.
Since like 62 or something they've been together?
Since 66, I think.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So long.
We're calling that one long term.
Long term. Yeah. Super long. I mean, come on. Dolly is just the best of all best.
Okay, we've got Michael J. Fox and Tracy Pollan.
Do you remember when they met on Family Ties? That's when their love affair started.
I did not realize
that. Oh, gosh, so long ago. Here's one of my favorites.
Uh-huh.
John Legend and Chrissy Teigen.
The mayor of Twitter.
They are doing the couple thing in a way that is respectable and resistible, and I like it.
It's wonderful, yeah. We have Denzel and Pauletta Washington.
For sure. I mean, Denzel.
Yeah.
Faith Hill and Tim McGraw. A few people were going to be really upset if that ever busted up.
Sure, sure.
One of our favorite couple mentions was Rose Byrne and Bobby Cannavale. I'm not familiar with them, but one listener says they are her favorite couple ever.
Hey, John Travolta and Kelly Preston. I actually have question marks about that relationship, but whatever.
It's our listener list. Not gonna down it. Warren Beatty and Annette Bening. Mm. So good.
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Happy couple right there.
Yeah.
Super long term. Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr.
They're sort of my contemporary. They're probably your contemporaries too. And like, I actually love their love. So that's a thing that I've cared about for a long time.
Fantastic. Samuel L. Jackson, who can do absolutely no wrong in the world, and LaTanya Richardson.
Sure. Steph and Aisha Curry.
For sure. Ooh, Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick.
For sure. Rodney and Holly Robinson Pete.
We have some listeners that are rooting for the love of Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi.
That just seems fair.
Totally true.
Sure. Angela Bassett and Courtney Vance. Wow, I'm not sure I even knew they were a couple. Those are amazing actors, okay?
It's probably, that's a...
Our listeners know so much more than everyone else. So.
Strong force couple right there.
Yeah.
Let's not forget to talk about Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Brad Hall.
Sure, sure. Michelle Pfeiffer and David E. Kelly, that is just a powerhouse in that industry, isn't it?
We're happy she found some happy.
And then this next one is,
like, couple goals. Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep. Love them.
For sure. So those are all of the honorable mentions of happy couples of trashy divorces. The top of the charts for y'all coincided with some of the top of the charts for us. So I think that the number one winner of all of them, everybody is rooting for and always will be for the rest of time, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Yeah, it's a good story.
Tell me.
All right. Just the highlights here. Okay, so unbelievably for Hollywood, Tom Hanks and his wife Rita Wilson have been married for 31 years.
Holy cats.
Apparently 31 pretty happy years. They first met on set in 1981 when she made a guest appearance
on Bosom Buddies.
On Bosom Buddies.
I love that show.
But it wasn't until the mid-80s when Tom's first marriage was kind of petering out that they became a couple, and they married on April 30th of 1988. So Tom Hanks told Oprah in 2001, "The success of our relationship was a matter of timing, maturity, and our willingness to have an intimate connection. When I married Rita, I thought, this is going to require some change on my part. I won't deny that fate was part of us finding each other, but our relationship isn't magic the way it's shown in movies. In real life, our connection is as concrete as me sitting here. Not that marriage doesn't come close to being hell in a handbasket sometimes, but we both know that no matter what, we'll be with each other and we'll get through it." They have two children together, plus they have two children from Tom's first marriage. Obviously, that's a joint custody thing, but anyway. And they have built what looks to be a genuinely loving and fun relationship. And they've even gotten to work together from time to time. And I think we can relate to the joy of working together. So they played siblings in Sleepless in Seattle, which is only a little
awkward.
Weird. And they've co-produced a couple of films together. And this is a very sweet Rita Wilson quote on the start of their romance. "I'll never forget, we were standing on the corner of 57th and 5th in New York, or 58th and 5th. We were holding hands and we were waiting for the traffic light to change, and he looked at me and he said, 'You know, I just want you to know that you never have to change anything about who you are in order to be with me.'"
Aww.
In 2015, Rita was diagnosed with breast cancer and had a double mastectomy followed by reconstructive surgery. The cancer was caught early, so she did not require radiation or chemo, but obviously still a terrifying life experience.
For sure.
And she had nothing but praise for her husband. She said, "You never know how your spouse is going to react in a situation like this. I was so amazed, so blown away by the care my husband gave me. Who knew it could make you even closer?" Finally, Tom sums up the real secret to keeping a marriage working in the long term.
Oh, tell me. I gotta know.
He says, "I think the end result is that we got married for all the right reasons."
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
But yeah, they seem like just... There was video. I think I told you about this. There was video floating around the other night of them at John Legend's Kennedy Center Honors, and they are singing to each other and just like doing that low key dance you do when you're in theater seating. And like, it's just, it is a wonderful love story.
Happy couple.
Happy couple.
They were definitely top of the charts.
Yes. So I think you have a story of another very long term prominent couple. Is that true?
I have the first of our presidential couples.
Ah.
One of my favorites, hometown boy.
Oh, yeah.
Georgia president and his wife, Jimmy Carter and Rosalynn Carter.
Yeah, wow. That's a love story for the ages.
These two literally grow up as neighbors on neighboring farms in the very, very tiny town, 600 people, of Plains, Georgia. They're born 3 years apart. So what's funny is Rosalynn is good friends with Jimmy's younger sister, Ruth. Like, Jimmy never paid any attention to Rosalynn because he was always hanging out with Ruth. Like, get out of my room. Quit following me.
That's
right?
Hilarious, yeah.
So everybody grows up. Jimmy takes off and returns home in the summer of 1945.
Yeah, he took off for World War II, right?
He takes off for the war and he's in Annapolis.
Right.
Like, he's getting his training. So here Jimmy comes home in the summer of 1945.
But he was in a sexy uniform.
A little older.
Looking good.
Uh-huh. Entering his final year at Annapolis. And he's coming home. Local boy makes good. And now he notices the very pretty 17-year-old Rosalynn.
Does he?
A few days later, his hot date falls through. And so he's bopping around town on a Saturday night in Plains, which is probably like four whole blocks. And he sees his sister, Ruth, and Rosalind, and they're bopping around town on a Saturday night. Jimmy's like, let's go to the movies. So they do go to the movies that night. Rosalind and Jimmy share their first kiss. Jimmy tells his mom the next day that he's going to marry her.
Wow.
In the spring, they get engaged. Jimmy gifts her a compact engraved with the letters ILYTG, which is an acronym in the Carter family, which means I love you the goodest.
Aw.
ILYTG. I love you the goodest. Isn't that sweet?
That's really sweet. It's also very, it's very internet era. Like, that would fit in very well as a meme.
So the couple were married at the Plains Methodist United Church on July 7th, 1946, just weeks after Jimmy graduates. Jimmy goes on to his naval career, and Rosalind is dutiful wife.
Sure.
They end up returning back to Plains when his dad passes away. He's taken over the family peanut farm in 1953.
Sure.
Rosalind later describes this period as one of the rockiest in their marriage. She says about it, like, I thought the best part of my life had ended.
Oh, no.
She struggled to find her own role and put herself on equal footing with her husband. So here's what she does. She begins helping Jimmy run the farm and takes over the business finances and turns a profit.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so.
Rosalind Carter is a badass. Okay, so on to what a happy couple can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So they're local. Getting pretty successful. They're on to bigger political moves. He's elected president, 1976. Rosalind, in breaking with tradition, becomes a close advisor to her husband. She is the first presidential spouse to have her own office in the East Wing.
Interesting. Okay.
She sits in on cabinet meetings.
I guess I would have thought Eleanor Roosevelt would have done that, but interesting.
She had an office, but yeah.
Right. Okay.
She but has
sort of formalizing that role.
Yeah, she advises on staff and personnel moves. She also serves as an envoy on overseas trips.
Hmm.
Did I mention that Rosalind Carter is a badass?
A little bit.
So after the White House, the Carters have spent their time, as far as I can tell, being actual saints on earth.
Yeah.
Filled with doing the good work and humble prayer and a love that has endured, like, couple goals, y'all. In March of 2020, this coming year, the couple will be celebrating their 74th wedding anniversary.
Good Lord.
74 years. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Happy couple goals.
Yeah.
That's president number one. You have another president happy couple goals.
I do. Would you like to hear a little bit about a certain Barack and Michelle Obama?
Absolutely.
Who, oh my gosh, what a vibrant and warm relationship we were treated to.
They are so crazy about each other. They are crazy in love.
As humans alive on Earth in this era.
For sure.
A young Barack Obama met a young Michelle Robinson during his Harvard Law School years when he was a summer associate at a Chicago law firm called Sidley Austin. Michelle was assigned to be his mentor.
Ha.
Uh-huh. And while she initially declined his request to try dating, he ended up impressing her and she gave it a shot. They married after dating a little more than 2 years on October 3rd, 1992, and would go on to have daughters, Malia and Sasha. We have been lucky enough to watch these two truly accomplished people and their marriage for over a decade now, and they've been so good about sharing the wisdom they've accumulated over time. Here's Michelle Obama from a conversation with CBS's Gail King earlier this year. She says, "It's important to marry somebody who is your equal, and to marry somebody and to be with somebody who wants you to win as much as you want them to win." Okay, there is a very sweet story told by a former Obama advisor named Dan Pfeiffer. I think he was in the communication shop. But
I
anyway.
Love Dan Pfeiffer.
I also love Dan Pfeiffer. He was, I guess, on his way out of the White House, he took like one last overseas foray or whatever with the president, which I guess is probably a perk that staffers get as a going away thing.
Sure.
Anyway, sitting with the president, you know, his boss, his
chilling with
soon to be ex-boss, yeah, and tells, you know, they're talking like, well, what are your future plans now, Dan? Like, leaving my employ. Dan tells him he's going to move in with his then girlfriend, also a White House staffer, and Obama asks him three questions to determine whether this is the right move for him, or so that Dan can determine whether this is the right move for Dan.
Let's have a talk, son.
Yeah. So the president said that his advice is to ask yourself, is this person interesting? You're going to spend more time with this person than anyone else for the rest of your life, and there is nothing more important than always wanting to hear what they have to say about things. So, are they interesting?
It's a great first question to ask.
Number two, do they make you laugh?
Aww.
I don't think that one really requires any expansion, really. Do they make you laugh?
That's the key right there.
Third, will they be a good parent? Now, obviously not everyone wants to have kids, so I believe that will they be a good parent to your dog, cat, houseplant, or other thing you love outside of yourself and this person probably counts.
For sure.
If you're super into cars, will they cherish your interest in, you know, like...
Will they put the cover over your car and tuck it into bed every night?
Sing it Sweet Nothings or whatever you do with cars. Change the oil.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, so are they interesting? Do they make you laugh? And will they be a good partner in the things you cherish?
Some really good questions to ask yourself.
It is very good. Pfeiffer says that Obama's musings ended with, life is long. These are the things that really matter over the long term.
Aww.
So I will close with another Michelle Obama quote because she is nothing if not a realist.
She's a goddess.
Marriage is a choice you make every day. You don't do it because it's easy. You do it because you believe in it. You believe in the other person. I love them.
I love them too.
I love their love.
I love their love.
You have a hero couple from
I have our
entertainment.
Couple goals. You have made me all teary-eyed with Barack and
I'm
Obama.
I'm so sorry. So I was fighting the urge to
it's
get
okay.
teary.
I'm feeling all the love.
Okay.
So this next couple might be our real-life couple role model.
Yeah.
Lily Tomlin mm-hmm. and Jane Wagner.
Yep. Oh, they've been together forever.
Forever. They have a very low-key love story,
sure.
but it is one of the longest-lasting relationships in Hollywood. They have been going strong since 1971.
Oh my God.
Lily Tomlin sees Jane Wagner's work on an after school special and invites her to come write for Lily's next comedy album. So 1971, it's love. And these two, because they're gay,
mm-hmm.
are in an openly secret relationship for a long time.
Yeah.
It's how it was done back then.
Discretion being the better part of valor.
So people
whatever.
Are like, oh, they're totally BFFs.
Right.
And, oh, they're writing partners.
They're roommates.
But these two funny ladies from 1971 have been in love. They are each other's lobsters. Time magazine, believe it or not, in 1975, tries to bribe Lily Tomlin and says, we'll give you the cover if you'll come out.
Hmm.
And Lily Tomlin is like, in 1975, that was not going to happen.
Yeah.
So Lily and Jane have been writing partners for all of these years. They have made such magic contributions to our world, like Lily Tomlin's award-winning show, The Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe.
Yes.
The Incredible Shrinking Woman.
Yes.
Moment by Moment, as well as the Grammy-nominated albums Modern Scream and On Stage. Back at the Paley Honors earlier this year, Lily Tomlin is asked what was the key behind her loving marriage. And she says, what's the secret? We all have a secret. It's just the secret is that you're committed and care and you want to work it out. You don't want to walk away from something that's important.
Yeah.
So technically, we can now wish these two a very happy 6th wedding anniversary.
Oh, good. Okay, I was going to ask.
Mm-hmm, the couple tied the knot on New Year's Eve 2013.
Mm. Happy anniversary.
After 42 years together. So in gay conversion years, I'm just kidding. Happy fucking 49 years together.
That's amazing.
Jane and Lily, you are...
Couple's goals.
Our couple goals.
Yeah, for real.
You work together, you love together, you live together, and... are entirely badasses in the scheme of what we should aspire to.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, you have one more.
I
have one of my personal role models.
I have
models.
One of everyone's personal
God, this is so good. So tell us about our next happy couple.
Sure. Happy couple, not happy marriage. This is Oprah and Stedman.
Yeah! The crowd goes wild.
All right. Here's another 30-plus year commitment that notably has not included a wedding. This is Media Mogul.
It doesn't have to.
No, it doesn't.
Just be happy.
I will tell you why it does not include a wedding.
Oh, tell me. Okay.
It's good. So this is Media Mogul, an amazing person, Oprah, and her very long-term partner, Stedman Graham. They met back in 86 when the Oprah Winfrey Show was in its first season. And she said that her staff was very protective of her and very suspicious of this, like, successful businessman who was also a sportswear model who was 6'6".
Oh, Stedman is
really hot
for
and
sure.
Hanging out around Stedman. Their boss who's got this new show. Like, they were not cool with this at first.
He was a wolf in wolf's clothing.
He was a wolf in wolf's clothing, except he was not. So Oprah says of her staff, they figured if he looked like that, he either had to be a big jerk or want something. Mm. But he's kind and supportive. Lots of people want to ride with you in the limo, but you want someone who will help you catch the bus.
That's the fucking truth.
Yup. Oprah. There's the tears. I got the tears.
You thought I cried during trashy divorces. Get me in happy couples and I'm waterworks.
All right. So interestingly, Oprah and Stedman did one time get engaged back in 1992.
Really?
They never married. In 2017, she finally explained why. I think this was to Vogue. She says, "Nobody believes it, but it's true. The only time I brought it up was when I said to Stedman, what would have happened if we had actually gotten married? And the answer is, we wouldn't be together. We would not have stayed together because marriage requires a different way of being in this world. His interpretation of what it means to be a husband and what it would mean for me to be a wife would have been pretty traditional, and I would not have been able to fit into that." Glory be to Oprah and Stedman for recognizing...
There's some value in knowing yourself.
For recognizing who he is and who she is.
That is healthy relationship goals
that
right there.
That really, really is. Stedman is the author of about a dozen books that are, like, they mostly look like business style, kind of self-help, like, you know, actualize your leadership potential, that kind of stuff. So he is a guy who... You know, one, is no dummy, and two, really has done a lot of deep thinking about identity and, you know, boundaries and, you know, focusing on the things that matter to you and not putting too much on, you know, like not putting responsibility for your joy on the people around you, all that kind of stuff, right? So it makes sense that there would be, like, adequate self-awareness to make this, because frankly, most couples would not be, like, they would just be like, oh, we're not getting married? Okay, well, I guess that's... We've reached the end of our road. That is not
them.
No. So earlier this year, Stedman was interviewed by Ellen DeGeneres and explained that being the partner to Oprah was not hard at all. He said, "The thing about our relationship is I want the best for her, so I'm dedicated to her happiness. And so that's great for her. I want her to be the best that she can possibly be. And she's done a pretty good job of doing that. So for me, I've been able to find my own happiness and to find my own skills, my own talents, my own abilities. And I'm satisfied with that. I'm happy with that. The combination, when you have a partner that's able to self-actualize their potential and you're able to self-actualize yours, then, you know, one and one equals about six."
I mean, I think that's the cut. You find someone that's your champion.
Yeah.
And that you want to be their champion.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah.
License or no.
And then it's a multiplier or whatever.
I don't get math. It's too hard today. Too hard.
Anyway, that's Oprah and Stedman. Another
love them.
Love for the ages.
Love for the ages is right. I love them. And we love y'all. Seriously. That's year one.
That
Wrapped.
Is year one. Here's a little, we wanted to give you something happy for the new year and not our normal trash candy fare. Love is possible. And it's hard, but you can make it work. And we have the receipts. We just gave them to you.
We just gave them to you. Like the team Trash Candy couple favorites. We wish all of them the best. Thank you for giving us the love. Positive role models.
Yeah.
And inspiration.
Hey, we're excited to get into season 5 starting on Sunday, I guess.
Sunday, January 5th. Yeah, don't forget.
Woo.
# Trash Pack. We're going to be starting with the... Trashy Divorces arc of Frank Sinatra and Big Nancy, along with another character you might not expect, but it is some kind of Victorian trashy, y'all.
We had a live show on Sunday, and it was so much fun, and thank you so much to everyone who came out.
Oh, for sure. Thank you, everybody who came out.
Could not have been a warmer room or a trashier New Year party. We actually hope to make that an annual thing, so.
It was so much fun. good time was had by all.
Yeah.
The live show episode recording is available on Patreon. Stacey, who did, now we can do the reveal, who did you cover?
I had Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah, you
and
did.
Like, I just can't believe I'm trapped in this stupid timeline.
It was a good story. It was a super good story.
And you had, wow, someone I'd never heard of.
The most famous person that you have never heard of, international playboy, Porfirio Rubirosa, who was in so many of his... Y'all, it's the most amazing story that you don't even know that you need. Think about joining us over on Patreon to hear that episode, as well as the hundreds of other hours of bonus content all about your favorite trash candy.
Yep, yep, yep. So welcome to 2020, friends. Thank you so much for the last year. It has been a remarkable trip for us, and we are so looking forward to next year. And just... bringing all the great stuff to you.
We cannot thank you enough for letting us into your worlds. Stacey and I feel so lucky to have found our team, lovers of trash candy everywhere. Y'all are the very best. Thank you for a hella 2019, and I promise the best is yet to come.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, friends.
And keep it trashy.
Keep it trashy all year long. Thanks for tuning in, y'all. Big cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening. Trashy Divorces is written and produced by us, Stacey and Alicia, for Hemlock Creatives. You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. Find her at sydneyvsmith@carbonmade.com.
And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. You can find her on Instagram at Ratsy's Store.
Check out episode sources, photos, soundtracks, and more at TrashyDivorces.com.
Enjoy early ad-free releases, bonus divorce stories, weekly trashy tidbits, limited series like Trashy Tutors, Fun with Dunn, and Side Pieces, and a whole lot more by joining us at Patreon.com/TrashyDivorces. We have finally curated trash candy for you at the $2, $5, $10, and $25 level.
And we have merchandise. You can get your Trashy Divorces gear at bit.ly/trashymerch. And thank you to What a Maneuver for doing such a great job with our cloths.
We appreciate all your ratings and reviews. If you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, send us a picture of it. We'll ship you some Trashy Divorces stickers and such anywhere in the world.
Don't feel left out because you're in the Netherlands, Brazil, Singapore, Tanzania, Iceland, or any of the other 154 countries and counting where people are listening. That is TrashyDivorces@gmail.com.
And last but not least, come play with us on social. We're at Trashy Divorces everywhere. Instagram, you can find us, which Alicia mostly runs. Twitter, which Stacey mostly runs. And on Facebook, which
we split.
We also have a Trashy Divorces discussion group on Facebook if you want to chat with other Trashy Divorces listeners.
Thanks again for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.